Fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, Lord, we just ask that your spirit be with us today, Lord, that you would guide us into all truth. The word of our lips and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, one of those mornings, I got 16 different directions to go. 16 different directions to go. So I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit that he's going to take us. I got to show off. Betty is always getting me, every time I run into Betty, I get a new sweatshirt. So I got to show you this. And this one's really pretty cool. It's a picture of Jesus. I don't know if I can stand up, if you could see it if I stood up. It's a picture of Jesus.
Boom.
Beautiful.
Then at the bottom it says, focus on me, not the storm.
Wow.
Great shirt.
So thank you, Betty. Wearing that one here for the show. And every time I run into her, she's got something else for me to wear. Amen.
We don't need those. I love that shirt, Coach.
The man's awesome. So listen, hey, listen. I don't know if it's up. If you didn't see Paul Gosselin yesterday on the Brighteon show, I got it posted at CoachDaveLive.com. And Paul, I didn't know if I was going to say this, but I'm going to say it. I don't know how long you've been with us, but there's a spiritual maturity coming out of you that's probably been deep inside of you for a long time. I don't know if you've been able, I'm not taking any credit for it, but you're beginning to really, really express it with some depth. And I just want to acknowledge that's what blew me away yesterday in the interview that Paul and I did was, wow. So some of the things that he said was so profound that, you know, how doctors in particular did you ever go sit down and have your doctor, have a meeting with your doctor? And the whole time you had a meeting with your doctor, you felt like he really wasn't paying any attention to you. you ever felt like that? And a lot of times it's like going to a garage and getting your oil changed. And they're just changing your oil and they're getting it done. There's another one coming in. They change your oil and another one coming in. And I think a lot of times it's like that with doctors, right? Doctors come in and here's what's wrong with you. And here's what the chart says to give you. And they give you the chart and see you in 2 weeks or whatever. And if you watch that video, that interview that I did with Paul yesterday, it's pretty profound to see that his profession is far deeper than medicine. And I just want to say, Paul, I think that was unbelievable yesterday. And we've posted it at our website. It's only 44 minutes. It's 22 minutes before the break and 22 minutes after the break. And it was really good. And I see, Paul, you got your hand up. Come on in a second.
Oh, I just wanted to thank you. When Mike Heath mentioned you, I had no idea I would be this uplifted with so many good folks that you have on this site. I'm kind of addicted to it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. I really do. But please pray for me. I gotta deal with Epic Times today. They called and they
Oh, awesome.
They want an interview. And I'll be honest with you, I'm pushing more the Christianity side.
Yes.
Only because people don't get it yet.
They don't get it.
This is a spiritual war. You know, we're just in the midst of it.
Hey, Paul, listen, the Lord's going to use you more than you even understand because you're making a bold stand for him. You got to understand that. Now, I want you to know this. There's no doubt in my mind that the Epic Times is the Epoch Times is calling you because of our interview yesterday. Not a doubt in my mind that somebody in that chain of command saw that and said, oh, my goodness, because they're the good guys. The Epic Times are the good guys. You can be safe with that. Yep, they're the good guys. So, yeah, you know, they're not going to make you look like a fool, which is what, of course, the media always tries to do is make us all look like a fool. But I want you to know you look like a champion yesterday. And, you know, I tried to get a hold of Mike Adams. And, well, I did get him an email. Brother, that was a powerful 44 minutes because you went to right at the heart of what's wrong with medicine. The doctors, can I say this, Paul?
Sure.
They care about people, but they don't really care about people anymore. It's like changing oil. It's changing oil. That's what it's become for them. And, you know, you hear a guy tunes up a car. Jeff, you do that stuff. You know, you got a guy, a mechanic in there to tune up a car, and he's doing what, right? When the car goes out the door, he ain't worried about the car anymore. There's another car coming in. It's going to get its oil changed. And that's what medicine has become. And you gave a human side to that medicine yesterday, Paul. That just, it blew me away. So I just pray that the Lord opens doors for you. I love the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. Because of, hey, Spencer, pull up. It says natural man. Because here's the great divide. Myra, come on in, then Julie real quickly. I'm going somewhere, so stay with me. Go ahead, Myra.
Good morning, Saints. Yes, yesterday's interview with Dr. Paul Gosselin was just powerful, like you say. The Holy Spirit spoke through him.
Amen.
And I wanted to ask you, I would like to pray for Australia. I've been having it in my spirit. I don't know if I can have a minute.
Sure, go ahead.
All right.
Well, Australia is under the gun, folks, for sure.
Yes.
And what's happening there is coming this way, for sure.
Thank you, Godfather, for allowing me the opportunity to serve you as your daughter of the Most High King, Lord Jesus. I ask the third member of the God Party, the Holy Spirit, for heaven to open up, for God's glory, and for the fire of the Lord to come upon all of us. And Lord, I pray for for the people in Australia, Lord Jesus, that most importantly, they repent of their sins and come and turn to you, Lord Jesus. I ask for loose of restrictions on that country. Lord, I ask that that the host of angels be in dispatch to minister to the people in Australia. And Lord, I ask for a blessing for each of us in the heart, oh Lord Jesus, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit start manifesting, because this is the time we are in war. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Myra.
Amen.
Myra.
Amen. Myra.
Amen.
Myra, you just have fire in her. We're going to be careful with Myra.
Amen.
Hey,
amen.
Hey folks, I'm not going to blow the whistle on Myra, but I'm going to blow the whistle. Myra's received a gift of the Holy Spirit, haven't you, Myra? Changed their life, folks.
Amen.
Changed their life. Julie, come on in.
I just feel like the Holy Spirit saying, you go. Not to puff you up or anything like that, but you are anointed and appointed for such a time as this. And God's going to use you to reach the world.
Amen.
That is
crazy. Amen. Amen. I receive that. Hey, folks, listen. Sometimes a promotion in the spirit ain't all it's all made out to be. It ain't all fun and games, Dr. Paul. So he's given you a promotion. It's a demotion in the natural world because that's the way it works. But it's a promotion in the spiritual world. And hey buddy, I tell you, you're playing with the big boys. You're playing with the big boys now. And I'm talking spiritually. So you've moved into another realm. And folks, that's going to happen with all of us. When the Lord finds out that he can trust you, especially when he finds out that you regularly use his name, are you kidding me? When he hears you come out of that darkness and start to mention that J word, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And when you do interviews and you talk about Jesus rather than God, 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 which God? What God are you talking about? Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. When we begin to use that name, see, you cross over a line of demarcation. When you say use that word Jesus, you come out from among them. Do you understand that, friends? Do you understand that? Do you understand how few people you run into every day who are ashamed to use that name? Oh, they'll use God. God bless you, brother. God, 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 God. But at the name of Jesus, and that's a line of demarcation. When you start using that name, there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. When you begin to use that name, oh, they hate it, man. Oh, they hate that name.
Amen.
Huh? Hey, we got to start using that name. Not this God Bless America stuff. Which God? Which God are you talking about? No, no. He has a name. God has a name. When you start using that name, demons start to flee. Some show up and demons start to flee. Some encouragement, Paul. Don't back off of that name. Dale, come on in. And then Jerry.
Well, brother, what you just said with the beginning with Myra, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the invoking of the power, the authority of the name of Jesus. Remember my question yesterday? What are the keys to the kingdom? Brother, you're beginning to answer the question yourself right there.
Amen. Amen. And once you get the key and you understand that you have the authority, then your boldness grows. Right. Because you've done it before. I've been here before. I fought this fight before. I know what's going on. I know how the game's played. I know what I need to do. I know how they're going to attack. I'm going to stand firm. He promised he'd never leave me. He'd never forsake me. He told me to go into all the world. And he said, I'll be with you. Go on. You go on in there and I'll be with you. And that's like I heard that pastor the other day on that Sunday morning service talked about Jesus being with us always and never mentioned the power of the Holy Spirit. How can folks, Jesus isn't with, we don't understand the triune God. I explain it to people like this: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All three forms of the same God. It's like water, ice, and steam. They're all H2O. We can't explain how that works, but frozen ice is H2O. Water, liquid water is H2O, and steam is H2O. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you this. If we don't start getting a hold of the Holy Spirit, see, that's what scares people. That's what scares them. That power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we use the term Holy Ghost. I don't know. I mean, ghost, really? So that alone scares people off. The Holy Ghost, yeah, but it's the Holy Spirit, power of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. It's inside of us. It is the power. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit that propels our action. Water, ice, and steam. Three different, oh, man.
I've shared that with you. God the Father, the water. If I tell you to go down to Buckeye Lake and grab a gallon of water, you can't do it with your bare hands. But if you freeze the lake, you can go down there. We beheld his glory. It became encapsulated in a human form. Now I can touch it. I can behold it. Now Jesus says, and you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You take that same block of ice that you beheld, you throw it in the steam locomotive, and guess what? You got power to move
things. That's right, man. It's simple, isn't it? Isn't it simple? And without the Holy Spirit, we're just going on, what are we going on? We're just going on ice and physical presence, right? Huh? We're just going on steam and ice without the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to get too deep in this. I got something specifically I want to talk to you about here, folks. See, we're fighting three things. I made some notes to myself. That's why I'm looking over here real quickly. We're fighting, I don't know what the spirit would be. I call it a managerial spirit. A managerial. That's what pastors are. They're managers. They're managers. Real pastors are leaders. You look at the government, are there leaders in government or managers in government? They're managers. They want to control and direct and keep everything under control. Managers. See, you can't manage the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've tried to do in our churches is control the Holy Spirit. Don't want any wildfire breaking out in this place, right? We want to manage the situation and think that religion alone is going to be able to help us do it. It isn't going to be able to do it. And so as a result of that, that creates stereotypes. Let me finish this. It's what I wrote down. Stereotypes. And what's the stereotype? What do they call me? Well, they call me a fundamentalist. Oh, stay away from that, Coach Dave. He's a fundamentalist. But see, I can't think of any other profession or any other job or any other work in the world where you can be successful if you don't do the fundamentals right. The first thing that I would do when I would start a football team is we would teach them the fundamentals, which foot to step with, which how to throw your arm across, how to get leverage. Those are fundamentals. And we have a Christianity today without any fundamentals to it. There aren't fundamentals. And because there are any fundamentals, we've got managers trying to manage what's supposed to be natural and a flow. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. I'll get you in here, Jerry, I promise. Right? And so that creates stereotypes. Creates stereotypes. The next thing you know, you're in a Pentecostal church and you're waving flags and speaking in tongues and not good to anybody at all anywhere. You're just good inside your church. But you won't do it outside your church. In fact, your church becomes known as a what are they called? A hyper charismatic church. And people go in there and they hide the gifts inside the church and they never take them outside the church. And so that becomes locked down and stereotypical. And are you a traditional? Do you go to a traditional church? In fact, somebody help me out here. But don't you drive down the road and see signs of the Methodist Church? It says what? Contemporary and traditional. They have two different services. They have two different. What the hell is a contemporary? As opposed to a traditional. I always wondered that, right? But it's managing the Holy Spirit. We want to control what the God's allowed to do. We want to be in control of it. That's what we're fighting against. That's what our government's all about. They want to control you. They don't want you to be free. They don't want you to flow free in the Spirit of God, flow free in the things of God, flow free in being able to earn a living and be happy. They don't want to do that. They want to control you. They want to call you a racist and a bigot and a hate monger and a homophobe and an anti-Semite and a gay basher. They control us by putting us in those boxes. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's no liberty. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Come on in real quick, Jerry.
Amen, Coach. God bless everyone here in the name of Jesus Christ. This is definitely a spiritual warfare. I don't know if you can hear it. I'm still getting over it. I had a major breakthrough in the attack that the Lord led me to about 5 days ago. And then I got attacked. I mean, I got sick. Could be Omicron. Don't know. But the Holy Spirit, this is awesome. 4 days in, I can barely lift my head. I'm very weak. And I get a phone call from a friend. He's a non-believer. Him and his wife are fighting. 5.5 hours, the Holy Spirit had me testifying to these two and working with them. And I was like, I had so much energy while doing it. When I was done, I was exhausted. I laid down and went to sleep. While I was asleep, my house got broken into. The Lord pulled the guy out and scared him away. But I'll tell you, it's spiritual attacks, man. So when the Holy Spirit is with you, the devil don't like it. So God bless you, Coach. God bless everyone. Amen. All right. Amen.
We got to quit being ashamed of that. We got to quit being ashamed of that third person. Well, the second and the third person of the Trinity. We got to start calling on the Holy Spirit. We got to start using the name of Jesus. If we don't do that. Come on, dudes. Come on. Craig, come on in. Mr. Zero. Hey, Craig, by the way, I was reading that this morning. That thing you sent me this morning is so deep. I didn't have time to present that. I'm with you, brother. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, maybe you could get Spencer to pull up John chapter 16, verse 5, and just have Silver read three verses to verse number 8.
John 16, because verse 5. I got a scripture I wanted to read to too, Craig. You're elbowing in on me. That's all right. John 16, John, say it again, John 5.
16, chapter 16, verse 5 through 8.
Can you pull that up, Spence? John 16, 5 through 8. Now, for some reason, I'm not seeing it on my screen here, Spence. I got something. There you go. Thanks, man. It's popping up there now. John 16.
But now
I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going, dude? But because I said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come unto you. If I depart, I'm going to send him unto you. And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You didn't want to go to another one, but that's where this whole thing leads. It's the Holy Spirit that's in operation in the good old U.S. of A, folks. It's the Holy Spirit that's in operation here. Is that your point, Craig?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, Christ on the cross had to happen so the Holy Spirit could now indwell man,
that's right,
the heart of man, not in the Holy of Holies of the temple. He went from the physical presence, okay, into the temple, into the physical heart of man, into the spirit of man. And now that's where the Holy Spirit rests.
Amen.
Not in the temple in Jerusalem.
It says it's expedient I go away, for if I go away, that other guy can't show up. If I don't take the ice out of here, the steam can't come. Oh, this is good. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, the other night we brought the steam. I'll just share this real quick. You know the good things that have been going on some of the school board meetings. Got one meeting with Superintendent Mount Vernon. Went in the other night to East Knox, and I copied your which God do you serve? I made 25 copies of that because I had no idea how many was going to be there. Every school board member got one. Then I shared some scripture and I stood up and looked at the crowd and I told them, start talking to them about the lies. And I turned around to the crowd and the school board member and I raised my hand and I said, now, how many of you ever lied? And boy, the look on people's faces was crazy. I looked at him. I said, now listen, here's what we're missing in our schools. The only truth we have is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But it was great. And they were all listening. They let me go for 10 minutes and 30 seconds. They were all listening. Then one other lady got up. She was a pagan. She's not saved. She's the one just railing on people. And sometimes some cuss words. They're vulgar. She ended up getting mad before the meeting was over. She walked out. She was left. We ended the meeting after it was over. New school board member and Cody Reese's dad, good Christian man, him and his wife and all the school board members and Pastor Matt. Matt says, hey, we got a guy in our church that's dying. He's going to be dead here soon. Can we pray for him? We're all standing in there at that school. And I just started praying because I know of the guy over at his church. We've been going over and trying to get some unity with him. And he's coming along. So I'm praying. All these school board members and some other people, everybody's got their heads bowed. We're having prayer in that school for the family and the mother-in-law. It was a great evening.
Amen, Jeff. I salute your evangelism, man. Folks, activism leads to evangelism. I'll say that again real slow for the slow learners out there. Activism leads to evangelism. I'll say it again one more time. Activism on the street where the people are leads to evangelism. You ain't going to evangelize anybody inside the stained glass fortress. Ain't going to happen. Sorry.
Amen.
Isn't going to happen. So I want to share this with you. It says natural man. Pull it up there with you. This is 2 Corinthians. This is what's on me today. I'm going someplace. Bear with me. Just this whole thing's good. Silver in here? Silver, I'm sure silver's always in here.
Yes.
All right, silver. Take us down through 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Okay.
Because listen, folks, listen, I want you to understand this. We're dealing with unsaved people. Listen to me. We're dealing with unsaved Christians. I'll say it again. We're dealing with people who call themselves Christians and are not saved.
Amen.
Because they're not saved, they don't have the unction of the Holy Spirit. They are incapable of recognizing good from evil. I'm going to show it. It's what it says right here in 1 Corinthians. And you're running in, your churches are full of them. Friends, your churches are full of them. Dare I say this? Maybe the queue's full of us. Maybe there's a bunch of us here in the queue that don't understand it. It's going to be explained to us right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go ahead, Joe.
1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
So he didn't show up and say, what denomination are you? Where do you go to church? Who's your pastor? He didn't come do any of that kind of stuff, right? He probably could have bragged to all of them. He could have bragged about his pedigree, I'm sure. He said, I didn't come like that. Go ahead.
And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling.
Hey, it doesn't say he was weak or fearful. He said, I was with you in weakness. When you were weak and you were fearful and much trembling, I was with you.
And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
Say that again, Joe. What was it? What were his words with?
In Boom. Demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
Oh, folks, are you seeing that in your church? Is that popping loose in your church? Are you seeing that in your elected officials? You seeing that in your school? Are we seeing that anywhere? The demonstration of the Spirit and power? Because that's what he said. That was the most important thing. Because the lost world needs to see proof. Go ahead.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men.
Wow.
But in the power of God.
Joe, if I don't quit reading, I'll never be able to shut up.
Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught.
The wisdom of this world and the wisdom of the princes of this world comes to nothing. Look at our government in Washington, D.C. Have you ever seen a more foolish group of folks than we see in Washington, D.C.? It's coming to naught. Go ahead.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom.
Hidden wisdom? What? Hidden wisdom? But who's it hidden from? Is it hidden from us? Or is it hidden from them? It's a hidden wisdom, but ask the question, who's it hidden from? Go ahead, Joe.
Which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Oh, my goodness.
Which none of the princes of this world knew.
What didn't they know, Joe? What didn't they know?
For had they known it, they
known
would
what?
Not have crucified the Lord.
Known what? The hidden mystery. They didn't know the hidden mystery. They're flapping around doing stuff, thinking they're doing a good thing, because why? They don't know the hidden. They don't know it.
The hidden wisdom. Yes. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
So, folks, faith cannot be touched. You see this? Eyes not seen, ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love. See, miracles in the world, it's child play for God. It really is child play. It says that healing's the children's bread. It's like just throwing crumbs to your kids. Well, of course you can have something. Of course you can. It's our yes. But see, oh my goodness. Our eyes haven't seen or heard, neither. It hadn't even entered into our heart what God wants to do. We can't even understand it. Keep going, Joe.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
By his steam.
For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Wow.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him?
I have no idea what Dale Socia's heart is. Only Dale knows that. I don't know what Silver's. You don't know what my is. Am I here every morning just to be a shyster, to get you guys to donate, to get my bank account bigger? Unfortunately, that's what we think about much of the Christian world, isn't it? Huh? That's what most of us think. For what man knoweth the things of a man? You don't know, except the spirit of the man, which is in him. Holy Spirit knows my heart. Go ahead, Joe.
Even so, the things of God knoweth no man.
Wow.
The Spirit of God. Mm. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God.
Two spirits, Joe. There's a spirit of the world, and there's a spirit of God. And we see the church operating in the spirit of the world, desiring the things of the world, the protection from the things of the world, the advancement in the things of the world. We haven't received that spirit, Joe. We've received, now that we've been born again, we've received the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that what? Are freely given to us. Freely given to us. He paid the price. He paid the cost. It's here. Here, he wants some healing. Here, here, here. But we've done what? What was the word you used, Coach? Managed it. We're into the management mode. We're controlling the things of God. And the God says, like you would say to your own children, go ahead. If you want to do it, you want to run the show, go ahead. I'll take my hands off it. Go ahead, Joe.
That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak?
What things, Joe? What things? Joe, what things? Which things also we speak? What things? Folks, follow your verbs and your nouns and your subjects. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak? We speak about the things that are freely given to us of God. It's not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Spiritual things with spiritual things. When you dip into the natural world and you don't take spiritual things with you into the natural world, you're going to get your ass beat. Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
That's all right. But the natural man receives.
What man, Joe?
Natural.
Well, what would that be?
Me?
That'd be the guy without the spirit, wouldn't it? Guy's just a natural man. Jeff, those people sitting on your school board, they don't have the Spirit of God. They are natural men. And what does it say about natural men, Joe?
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Oh, my goodness.
For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them.
Because he can't know them.
Because they are spiritually discerned.
I got to call time out there. Do you guys understand the impact of what Joe just read? And we are trying to get natural men to receive the things of the Spirit. And the Bible says they can't. They can't receive it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, as we've said before, is nothing more than the computer software that is downloaded from heaven. Do you have that computer software? Have you received the Holy Spirit and the computer software that comes with the Holy Spirit, that you might be able to discern good from evil, that you might be able to hear the voice of God when he speaks to you, that you might have the wisdom and the courage to act upon what he sees, that you can discern good? Have you received that? And so what we have is we have guys sitting on school boards that Jeff keeps talking to, and they can't understand it. Do you see? Huh? Do you see it, folks? They can't understand. It's not that they don't want to. They can't. Go ahead, Joe.
But he that is spiritual judges.
No, Joe. No, Joe. We're not to judge. We're not to judge, Joe. Somebody get an eraser. Somebody get a magic marker and scratch that out of there, will you? Go ahead, Joe. Read that again.
But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man.
Boy.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Does everybody have the mind of Christ? Folks, that's a question we have to ask ourselves. When you go and you sit in your stone cold dead Baptist church, does everybody sitting in that place have the mind of Christ? I'd say no. Does the 6-foot icicle standing in the pulpit, does he have the mind of Christ? You answer that question. I don't know. And so we're fighting a spiritual battle, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Our weapons aren't of this world, but our weapons impact this world. Our weapons impact this world. They're not of this world. They're greater. Eye has not seen, neither ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for those who love him. See, he rewards goodness. He rewards obedience. He rewards action. Eyes not seen. Where is it? Scroll back down, Spencer. I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up. Keep going. Keep going. But it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, carnal, carnal, neither have entered into the heart of man, carnal, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Why? Because it is revealed to us by his Spirit. Without the Spirit, you cannot move beyond the carnal. Wow, this is, I ought to charge you for this. Go ahead, Janine, come on in. By the way, I won't charge you because the Holy Spirit gave it to me for free.
What I wanted to say is what you guys are talking about should lead us to the phrase, every knee shall bow. I want to say that's incorrect, because if you look at Isaiah 45:23, it tells you to look to him. And then if you go to Romans 14:11, it says those that believe and confess to God. Then you go into Philippians 2:10, it said they should bow and should confess. It's only God's people are going to bow and confess unto him. The right. Rest are not going to are not going it's, to bow.
They don't have the Spirit. Right. They don't have the Spirit.
So they need to stop. People need to stop using that verse wrong and use it rightly.
Well, the point is, the point that I would make, and I think you're making the same point, Janine, is first of all, to understand if they don't have that Holy Spirit, it ain't going to make any sense to them. That's the message. And so there are people standing in our pulpits who don't have the Holy Spirit speaking to people who don't have the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make any sense to them. Go ahead, Alan.
Good morning, Coach. No, just to hit on what you're saying, I put a post out yesterday on Facebook about Omicron and about killing babies. And one of my big-time atheists on my page, he got on there and said, Alan Zeifer, you will never see the truth because you're blinded by faith. That's the best compliment I've ever been given.
Is that unbelievable? Huh? Is that unbelievable? Right? And so, Alan, the world has so blinded us that we are – I'm sorry, I always bring it back to the same thing. We are so ambivalent, which means we don't care about the destruction of our children. We don't care about we don't care about it. We have a good school. Oh, what? We have Christian teachers in our school. We have a good school. Oh, yeah, is your Christian teacher, is he allowed to lift up the name of Jesus and teach the children things of Jesus? Oh, well, no, he's not allowed to do that. Oh, but you have a good school, huh? You have a good school? We're so deceived. We're so deceived. Rochelle and Matt.
Hey, good morning, team. Yeah, so, you know, you speak a lot about the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm a kingdom now person, and it is the actual kingdom now, but we're building the kingdom now. And it is right now, it's dividing those who claim to be believers, because he's going to use the truth to be put in the hearts of men through the Holy Spirit. And then upon the knowledge and acceptance of the truth, a platform is going to be open and allowed. And unfortunately, what we're witnessing is that Satan he takes over the platform. I mean, this is why I think Jesus foretold of this. He was prophetic when he said that the birds are going to perch in the branches. And our churches have been overtaken with the rituals and traditions of men. And most preachers have been compromised. But what's the worst is that the truth isn't being spoken.
You can't teach what you don't know. Go to Genesis 6 real quickly, because I got some emails last week when I happened to mention something about those, dare I say it, those giants. Go to Genesis 6 real quickly for me. I'm going to move on. I see you guys want in here. I got someplace. Boy, Genesis 6. And just scroll on down to verse 4. And just go to your pastor and ask him what this means. And then that's all you'll need to know. Yeah, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, of which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth. Why did he see the wickedness was great? Because he saw angels come down and have sex with women. And produce offspring. They bear children to them. And the ones that bear children to became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. They went around and destroyed everything. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord repented and even made man, and it grieved him. Right? Folks, ask your pastor what that means. There were giants in the earth in those days and also after. What does that mean? It's a pretty important question, I think. Come on, Larry.
Yeah, you know, that verse that says, every knee shall bow. It actually is true, but some knees are going to bow after it's too late for them. They're going to bow like the rich man that went to Abraham begging that somebody would go speak to his brothers. Every knee will bow. Every knee will bow, but not in this world.
Hey, listen, are they going to bow to the name of God? Is that what they're going to do? God bless America! Are they going to bow to the name of God? It's not what it says, does it? No, a very specific God. The name of it, Jesus, every knee shall bow. The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, both in the earth and above the earth. Isn't that what it says if we follow on that scripture? I think it does. Come on in, Silver.
Thank you, Coach. You know, I, like you, went to Catholic school.
Yep.
But you know, the one thing that I remember was that we always started every class with prayer. Every class. And I know that's unique. We had a really, I guess, from what I'm hearing from other Catholics who went to Catholic school, you know, they never experienced what we did. It was amazing.
Yeah. That's
so
right.
It was an amazing upbringing and all of that, but prayer was a big part of my life. Still is, mainly because that's about all I can do now. But
plus, it was planted in you early. That seed was planted in you early. Come on, folks. Didn't you go to school and do the Pledge of Allegiance and the Lord's Prayer in public school? Didn't you guys do this? I never went to Catholic school. But I said the Lord's Prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance every morning in Hebron Elementary School. 1958, I think it probably would have been. Come on, man.
I don't want to get bogged down.
Yep. I'm sorry.
Some will bow in defeat. Others will bow in victory.
It doesn't matter. Everybody's bowing, right? Everybody's bowing. Everybody's going to admit that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee, everyone's going to admit that. Come on in, Dale and Jeff.
Brother, I want to tell you something. You started that last week on that Caesarea Philippi, Matthew chapter 16, right? He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Brother, I think you were sitting next to me. I could print my sermon. And brother, that's exactly where I went, into the second chapter of Corinthians. Because just invoking the name of Jesus is not good. And remember the sons and sons of Sceva? They invoked the name of Jesus. The devils came out. Guess what? Many of these pastors invoked the name of Jesus, and them devils are all over them. Brother, but the keys, things that are hidden, the Spirit of the Lord reveals them. Those, brother, are the keys to the heaven. They open up things, brother. I want to I'm salivating here.
Dale, I feel like a child every time I hang around Mark Trump up at Sky High, because it didn't matter what tool I pulled out. He knew how to work it. I didn't know anything about it. Every tool I pull out, he knew how to start it. He knew how to choke it. He knew how to do everything. Oh, my goodness, is this deep. See, he understood the tools of his trade, didn't he? Do we understand the tools of our trade? Christians, do we understand the tools? Say, oh, look over there. There's a chainsaw. Yeah, but I don't know how to use it. Oh, really? Well, yeah. I'm going to sit there. Trump comes here. He'll show me how to use it. Well, dude, you ought to be using that right now. We could be cutting down a lot of wood and heating some homes. Yeah, but I don't believe in chainsaws. I haven't had that training on chainsaw. Folks, these are the keys of the kingdom, what Dale's talking about. God's given us these powers. Gary, come in, then Jeff. And then no more, because I'm going someplace else. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, I just want to say when it comes to when every knee shall bow before Jesus, there will be those of us who will bow before him, knowing him as our loving Savior. And there are others who will be forced to bow before him, and they are going to wish they knew him as their loving Savior.
Amen. That's the whole idea of every knee bowing. Some are going to bow because they want to, and some are going to bow because they got to. It's kind of the way it is. Jeff, come in, and then Kevin.
Coach, the last meeting I had with Superintendent Mount Vernon for breakfast was an hour and a half. He asked me, we started opening this up with prayer. I said, buddy, I was already going to. So we had an hour and a half. He let me speak for about 45 minutes, your scripture, and then the last part of it, he asked me, he said, Jeff, what can we do to make our schools better? How can we do this? And one of the questions he said was, how do we get across to these transgenders in our school that we don't hate them? So then I shared that with the school board at East Knox. As I shared that, I looked at that superintendent there and I said, Mr. Larkham, I'm hoping to get an appointment with you also, breakfast. And I didn't notice it, but Tom Branstow said, did you see him as you walked off? He was checking his phone right away. Checking his calendar. Friday morning at 7:30, I got a second breakfast with the second superintendent. And both these guys sit in the church. Both, and Pastor Matt told me he's on the board at East Knox. He told the whole crowd the other night as we got into this, he said, I want you people to know that this man sitting here, our superintendent, when a kid's sick or in a car wreck, it don't matter if it's 10, 11 o'clock at night, he calls me and says, we need to pray for our student. We got a student that's down. I was like, so we just got to get in there.
Amen. Kevin.
Yeah, Coach, I don't know if anybody else said this. I was in dealing with a customer, but what you just said just brought a scripture to mind. I mean, it just jumped right out at me. You know, that they will have a form of godliness, but to deny the power therein. And what is that power? That power is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. You know? It is. And what do they try to shut down in churches more than anything? The Holy Spirit. Spirit.
Yeah, and the movement of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely.
Right. That's because what did I say? Management. Everything's management. Everybody wants to manage everything. We have very few leaders because leaders take risks. What's the last big risk you saw your pastor take? Big risk. No, they manage. They want to keep the wildfire down, right? Okay, I got to say, this is important. I want to show you this. Got about 14 minutes here. Pull up for me. This is really good. Somebody say, Coach, this is really good. Encourage me here. Say, Coach, this is really good, man. I know it is. You don't have to say it. I know it is.
Hallelujah, Coach.
It's really good.
This is really good.
Amen.
Thanks. Stop it now. I'll start blessing.
Amen.
Stop.
Amen.
Hey, Coach, amen. Can I have seconds?
Yes. Okay, so Spencer, pull up David Martin. Folks, this is powerful, man. This is really, really good. This is off topic. Listen, truth is never off topic. Truth is never off topic, okay? Truth empowers us. Truth gives us power. So this was, I found this this morning. I read this morning. Dr. David Martin, 2 quick laws in 5 minutes. Daggone, is this ever good? And he, on his website, this is 6 minutes long. Spencer put it at about 1.5. I think we can play it at 1.5. And then I want to show you his website where he is going to give you the material that you need to use. He's telling us to begin to sue. Oh, Christians don't sue. Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. They're not supposed to sue each other. But if it's a weapon of our warfare, I hate to tell you that, friends. It's the only thing that the world understands is losing their stuff. It's one of our weapons. So David is going to give us 1.5 speed, 2 quick laws in 5 minutes of how to fight. Go ahead, play it. It's good. It's great.
You will actually be part of the class that one day recovers those damages. So I say stand firm, inform yourself, get evidence, and take action.
I love it.
Under 21 Code of Federal Regulations, section 50.23 and 24, it is illegal to make anybody participate in an experimental program using coercion. That is, in fact, how in U.S. law, we actually embraced in U.S. law the Nuremberg Code. So coercion is illegal, and we need to call it coercion. We don't want to call it leverage. We don't want to call it pressure. We want to call it the illegal act that it is. It's coercion. And that becomes important because under 18 U.S. Code, section 2331, and then subsection 802, inside of the definition of domestic terrorism is anytime a U.S. citizen or a government in the U.S. is forced to do something that it would not otherwise do. That's also not only coercion, but domestic terrorism. Now, this conversation and every other conversation, I encourage people to, in fact, take those two laws, and when they are met with somebody telling them they're supposed to get the shot, actually ask the person and record this. Use your phone, use a recording device, record the conversation, and ask if they are in fact violating 21 Code of Federal Regulations, section 50.23 and 24. Are you interested in doing a civil violation of the law? And if they say yes, they're cool with that, then say, are you willing to violate 18 U.S. Code, section 2331, which says that it is illegal to coerce a population, and that is a felony, and the felony has a 99-year prison term with it.
Wow.
And so here's the problem. We need to arm ourselves as a big community to not only do what we've done, and by the way, kudos to everyone who has done the resistance up until now, but now we have to arm ourselves with the very weapons they're using and throw them back. I always say the metaphor for me is if somebody throws a hand grenade at you, pick it up, pull the pin out, and throw it back. They're giving you the hand grenade, use it. What we need to be doing is we need to be informing ourselves, and most recently, Patrick, and this will be a punchline I get to at the end, but I just put all of the felony statutes and all of the felony evidence into a single document that everybody can use, everybody can reference, and just go to your employer, to your local grocery store, to your local theater, to your local school board, whatever it is, just say, hey, which one of these felonies do you want to be implicated in? Because all of them carry 99-year prison terms and up to $100 million fine. So, and that's $100 million fine for an institution. So it's actually a big deterrent. And as we have been manipulated and coerced as a population, we now need to actually take the offensive position and say, stand up, be informed, and provide the 8 felony counts that you can ask any employer, any business, anybody who's trying to push the mandate, which one of these felonies do you want to now be liable for?
That's brilliant. And I like the idea of going on the offense. You know, I mentioned earlier, I think our last line of defense, or one of our last line of defense, are going to be the courts. You know, we got to get away from the executive branch. You know, we're very dysfunctional in our legislative branch. But the courts, you know, shooting down the mandate, you know, the Biden mandates, et cetera, I think they are our last line of defense. You see me smile, kind of chuckle as you're quoting line and verse on these statutes. You know, it's like, you know, how you have all this stuff in your brain is amazing to me. Is there a way that people can get access to the document you described?
Well, there you go. I feel like I just entrapped you because I told you there is a thing. It turns out if you go to either of my websites, fullyliveacademy.com, that's Fully Live Academy, all one word, fullyliveacademy.com, or davidmartin.world. If you go to either of those two and click on the Attorney General link, what you'll get is actually the criminal indictment template, which has all 8 felony counts that are actually listed right there. And you can download those, as I encouraged people to do yesterday. You can print them off. You can send them certified mail to your U.S. attorneys, to attorneys general in your state, to elected officials in your state, to school boards, to anybody who's doing a mandate, and say, you are now on notice of felony violations. And guess what? Like you just said, the courts are, in fact, going to ultimately deal with this issue. And if you have gathered evidence in your own coercion and your own manipulation of the things that have been foisted upon you, you will actually be part of the class that one day recovers those damages. So I say, stand firm, inform yourself, get evidence, and take action.
I love it.
Okay, since you pull up davidmartin.world. Davidmartin.world. Folks, you can all have this, right? Davidmartin.world, and click on Attorney General Document. It's right there in the middle, Spence.
Can you put that in chat?
There they are. There are the federal codes that are being violated, friends. Yeah, put that in the chat for us, if you will. Davidmartin.world. Without going into depth about all of them, these are felonies, friends. These are felonies. And I would suggest that when... as we figure out how to do this, when you go and you make a presentation wherever they don't want you, at school board meetings or whatever, there you go, Jeff, some evidence, hand out this document and get it on record, them saying that, yes, they're going to go ahead and violate those. Yes, they are. They're going to go ahead and violate those. And this has more than just scroll on down. In fact, they have a PDF. Spencer, up there on the left, it says click on the PDF. Do you see it right there in blue? Yep. And there's a PDF that you can print off. Tells you what they are. Proposed indictment. Tells you it's great. It's great information, folks. And document it. Document. So that's davidmartin.world. Look at that right there. You need to take some time and study that little chart. This is Operation Warp Speed. This is how they pulled this crap on us that they were not legally permitted to do. This is the flow chart of how this whole thing happened. Unclassified for official use only. Come on in, Rochelle.
Wow, that was great. So here's David suing Goliath Big Pharma and cutting his head off with the sword of truth. I love that this man got those exact laws for us. I'm going to memorize some of these to heart, and I'm going to be armed and ready. Anybody wants to speak up.
What if you took these things to your school board, right? What if you took these to your elected officials, right? What if you did that? Made an appointment, showed up, said, hey, are you okay with all these? Just getting you on record that you're okay with all these, because at the end of the day, they ain't going to be able to get away with it. They're not going to. Dr. Paul, come in.
Dave, it's not just medical coercion. Coercion is coercion, period. We've got to go back and figure out where it started.
Period. Yes. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I'll be sending these to my lawyers for the hearing in front of the board.
There you go. In fact, take that little video and let them watch that little video and then the document that he's prepared. Because ultimately, friends, don't forget this. David knocked down Goliath with the stones. He didn't kill. That wasn't what killed Goliath. David went up and he pulled Goliath's own sword out of the sheath. He unsheathed Goliath's own sword and cut off his head with it. So as we look at the situation that we're in, what has been the sword that they have used over the years to get us where we are today? It's been the legal system. And so how are we going to win back? We're going to win it back through the power of God by using the weapon of our warfare, which is the legal system. We will use the legal system against them. But hey, you got to get out of that mindset.
The weapon formed against them will be used against
the weapon. That's right. But we got to get by this idea that Christians aren't supposed to sue, right? We're not supposed to sue. Wow. One more thing, lighthearted. Let me finish up with one more lighthearted thing. By the way, put that in the chat so everybody can get it. Go to We Are Democrats. It's just a little, about 2-minute parody. Hey, by the way, if you know this, right? Democrats, Republicans, that doesn't mean anything to me, okay? That doesn't mean anything to me. But the demon, those at the top of the party, who every time they move their lips, they lie. See, Republicans only lie every once in a while. right? The demoncrats, we know this. The Bible says that the devil, he's incapable of speaking the truth, right? He can't. There is no truth in Satan, no truth in him. And so the demoncrats in particular, or the ones who are really, really carrying all the power, this is really, really appropriate, all right? Go ahead and play. It's about 2 minutes. We are Democrats.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
That all men and women are created equal.
We don't just say it, we live it.
We organize, legislate, and govern it.
Together we work for fair wages and equal pay.
So we can get a good education for ourselves and give one to our children. For affordable health care for our families and a clean planet for the next generation.
So we can decide what's best for our own bodies.
And marry the person we love.
For those battles we haven't won yet, we will keep fighting.
Sometimes that means sitting so that others can stand up.
Listening so that others can be heard.
Or lending a hand so others can pull themselves up.
Because we know that behind balanced budgets, new deals, and multi-point plans
are people.
People who are trying to do good, to get to work, to make their mark.
For themselves, their families, and their communities.
And through decades of administrations, revolutions, and global changes,
we have been driven by one question.
How can we do the most good for the most people?
Because we don't believe in simply electing someone to give us the country we want to live in.
We believe in creating it.
At town hall meetings, on school boards, in state legislatures, from the halls of Congress to the Oval Office.
We are Democrats.
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 This is what we do.
This is what we have always done.
Let's go make some more history together.
Pretty good, huh? Pretty good. So we have to figure out the difference between what they say and what they do, right? That's really where we're getting bogged down. And it applies to all of us. Applies to churches. Applies to our Republican representatives. Say one thing, do another, right? We don't demand truth anymore. Come on in, Larry Silver.
Yeah, Coach. I just wanted to kind of strengthen what you said about the devil is incapable of telling the truth. He can tell a partial truth,
yep.
But that's because a partial truth is a lie. Amen. Just check out Jesus in the wilderness.
That's right. Silver.
Coach, I'm watching this. I'm going, and I'm wondering why we have allowed this country to go to the state that it is in.
Hmm.
Okay. And trying to figure out what is the way to bring our nation back. Okay. And looking at these people, I don't see anything funny here.
No. Either.
This is sad. Okay. This is supposed to be representing our nation to the world. These people
it's supposed to be representing our nation to us, Joe.
Right? We need to be destroying this part of our nation. And we that's do. Not meaning people. That means ideas and attitudes and laws, and get back to God.
Kingdom focused, right, Mel?
Pardon
Revelation 2015.
Get back to Jesus.
Get back to Jesus. Revelation 2015, then Rich, go ahead.
I don't know about you guys, but listening to that made me sick. What I wanted to talk about was, did you hear that quote from Joe Biden yesterday when he compared MLK to George Floyd?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine if Trump had said that? Yeah, I actually think that he spoke some truth. If you come at it from the side that the government killed MLK to start a black uprising, when compared to George Floyd, another government killing, starting a black uprising, Biden was telling the truth.
He was telling the truth. Amen. Rich, come in.
Yeah, the kind of a response to what Silver just said. Circle back to what we were talking about in the beginning of the show. The way to get this all to come back at all these things that you just showed in that video is we need the Holy Spirit back in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be operating like we were, like the church was in Acts, and just bringing the fireworks to them, you know?
Yep. Rich, we got to remember this. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. Neither can he. It's foolishness to him. And we've got the foolish in charge. That's our problem. We'll see you tomorrow.
And we're clear.